There are many ways people listen to Vision, including through a PC at work.
When you fire up your computer at work, go to vision.org.au/listen and click the Vision or V180 Listen Live buttons. You can also catch the latest Vision National News Bulletin and enjoy a growing range of on-demand podcasts from the same page all while you work.
However, and wherever you listen to Vision, you can be sure that the announcers, programs and music will help you look to God daily. Life, culture and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 with Neil Johnson on Vision.
Well, sometimes infidelity has huge consequences, especially when things are played out in public. And one story that's emerged out of the UK, where a popular TV presenter had indiscretions come to light that has created crisis on a whole lot of different levels. The broadcaster ITV has been dealing with the fallout for the admissions that its popular daytime host, Philip Schofield, had an affair with a younger colleague. Well, David Robertson, the director of the Ask Project with Sydney Anglicans, is back with us once again today. Hey, David, a special welcome back to 2020.
Yeah, privilege being back with you. I know this it will sound strange, but this is actually a really interesting and key subject, as I hope we'll discover as we go on.
Well, you know, not all listeners are going to be familiar with Philip Schofield. He has been very popular on daytime TV in the UK for a very long time. Give us a little, in a nutshell, understanding of where he fits into this whole issue.
Yeah, so let me say, first of all, I would normally have no interest whatsoever in, you know, celebrity presenters. I mean, I know that you're one, Neil, but
yeah. No, not really.
Recognized wherever you go, you know, billboards all over Sydney and Melbourne, you know. But I have no interest, and I really have no interest in the gossip around people's private lives. However, this one is a little bit different because Schofield is very well known, him and his co-presenter Holly Willoughby, probably two of the most recognizable faces in UK media. I think it was about a year ago that he did this tearful coming out as gay on the main breakfast show. He's 61 years old. No, it was 2020 he came out as gay. It was kind of very emotional and, you know, oh, you're so brave. And he was lauded everywhere for doing that, despite the fact that he left his wife of, I think, was it 25 years, and he's got three children as well. And, you know, then a couple of weeks ago, it came out that he and Willoughby, they have this online kind of on camera thing where they're meant to be great friends, had actually fallen out considerably. And then he resigned. He resigned from ITV, and it came about that one of the reasons that he came out, and he denied this, of course, at the time, was that he was having an affair. And the problem is that he was having an affair with a boy who he met when he was 15 years old and brought him onto television, made him a producer and stuff like that. And, you know, he 2 weeks ago said, I lied to ITV, I lied to my family, I lied to you, and so on. So it's all played out. It's a culture. It's saying a lot about hypocrisy. It's saying a lot about forgiveness or the lack of forgiveness. It's saying a lot about the values that our culture has, and that's what makes it very interesting for me.
You know, it's interesting, isn't it, that we have this affinity for a scandal. It's almost as though our human nature loves a scandal unless it's happening to us. Infidelity and affairs, these things are quite common, and usually they have a habit of coming to life. Coming to light, and it's big, of course, when you have a high profile, and people do tend to almost live out their own way of addressing their own values and setting their own course according to what happens in the media like this. Interesting here, but this is a scandal. There are lies. There's the coming out as gay, leaving his wife, these sorts of things, sometimes, you know, the interconnection here. What are your thoughts, David, about all of the way these ways that the scandals come to light, how they all fit together?
Well, you know, and other things, he did a very, another interview recently where he said, you know, he'd been pushed to the point of suicide and everything else. I mean, I feel really sorry for all those who are caught up in this. I think there's an element of hypocrisy and everything else, but I feel the celebrity culture hasn't really helped. And particularly the fact of absolutely praising his infidelity when he was coming out as gay, you know, and there was this whole language of we'll stand by you and you're very, very brave. And he was made out to be a hero for renouncing his marriage vows. You know, I just, that was absolutely appalling. There's an Australian commentator called Glenn Shrivener. So I'm a Scottish commentator or a UK commentator here in Australia. Glenn's in Australia and he's in the UK. He's got a thing called Speak Life. And I would encourage the listeners, he's a fine Christian evangelist. And I would encourage the listeners to go and look for Speak Life and see his comments on this, where he just points out the hypocrisy of the culture. So we laud these celebrities, we praise someone when he comes out as gay, and now he's the opposite. Now he's being completely demonized. On the other hand, there are other people who say, well, it doesn't matter, it's his private life. And yet these people are being hypocrites as well, because when he was coming out as gay, that was his private life, and they were all publicizing it and saying it's wonderful. So basically, it just indicates to me the absolute mess that our culture is in. It doesn't know its right hand from its left.
Interestingly, the boy that he met when the boy was only 15, and he, of course, is a whole lot older than that, and denials that there was sexual activity while he was just a boy. Some of these things, these might cause people to doubt. Any thoughts about, you know, whether there's even the truth has come out there?
No, I suspect most people think that, you know, when someone looks at the camera and lies to camera so convincingly, the next time they do it, why should you believe them? You know, so we don't know. We're not in a position to judge in terms of that, but we are in a position to judge this, at least, that it seems very much like grooming. You know, that's the problem. The power imbalance. Schofield's 61. You know, this was a teenager who was brought on to, they corresponded via social media initially, and then he was brought on to the show. Schofield says he did something that was immoral, but not illegal, because the boy was 20 when they first had sexual contact. I think that we don't know. And the other thing that fascinates me is why this is so important to so many people. So Holly Willoughby, I think yesterday or the day before, came on, and it's a most bizarre face-to-camera statement, you know, dressed in white, very serious, saying to the audience, are you okay? You know, it's as though the audience have been traumatized by this. It's this kind of therapy by television. I mean, most people in the audience don't care. To be honest, it's what you said at the beginning. There's just a salacious gossip aspect of it. And we need to be very careful of that. I mean, that's why personally I had no interest in it whatsoever. And then the thought just struck me, no, this is actually a window into our culture. And so I've been reading about it and looking at it and come to the conclusion that it's a window that shows something that's not great. As I say, we're in a mess. We're in a mess morally. We're in a mess socially. We're in a mess where we do therapy by television and where it seems as though we're lied to constantly.
Is there when we talk hypocrisy, when we talk those things that are contrasted, when this happens, an older man and a young girl, you know, the name Rolf Harris comes to mind, there is a demonization and there's time to serve in prison because of these things that come to light. And when it happens to someone who has come out as gay, it's almost as though the whole society fawning over them creates a protection around them. Is this an inconsistency that should be pointed out, do you think?
It's an absolute inconsistency. I remember once a lecturer at a college telling me that he had come across a colleague, his senior actually, engaged in mild sexual activity with a student, which was completely against all the rules. But because his boss was female and the student was female, nobody wanted to know, because, you know, this was homophobia. So there are, what we're finding in our culture, there's a kind of hierarchy of rights, and some rights are considered to be more important than others. And ultimately, these are not really rights. These are people in power telling us what we should value more. And I think there's definitely an aspect of that. Interestingly enough, Neil, I was at a lawyer's breakfast this morning, and I was talking on Job 31, and Job is declaring his innocence before God. And one of the things he says is that as a master, as a very rich man with lots of servants, he said that he never looked lustfully upon one of his servants. It wasn't even that. So in that culture, in a patriarchal culture, there's a power imbalance where the wealthy and the powerful are able to take sexual advantage of the weaker, and especially women and young women. And Job was saying, I never did that. I didn't even look. And I think in our culture, we've seen this in terms of, in Australia, you know, various cases, lots of cases of domestic abuse, but also sexual abuse or alleged sexual abuse. And it's the power imbalance, the person who can give you a promotion, the person who can fire you, the person who has authority over you, the person who is teaching you. We've sadly seen it sometimes in the church as well, where in a position what's supposed to be a position of servanthood as a clergyman, to some extent you can be in a privileged position of power and you can abuse that power in different ways. And I think this story is an illustration of that.
David, what do you think we make of the profuse apologies? He said, I've made a grave error of judgment. And these sorts of things, you'll often see them from sports people, you know, when there's been some sort of indiscretion and, you know, there they are appearing on a press conference and, you know, looking very repentant, because when you are caught in the act, somehow or other, these sorts of things, they have to be said. Sometimes they sound a little hollow. What are your thoughts here of the idea of remorse after the exposure and how you treat that? You take it seriously or you don't take it seriously?
I certainly don't take remorse seriously. There are lots and lots of different things, but it's how will I put it? Repentance. I mean, I was at a Christian meeting recently, which was meant to be about repentance, and I felt it was much more about remorse. So remorse is kind of, the way I put it, I've come across it quite a lot. Sometimes you might meet a man who's been involved in domestic violence, and he's been violent towards his partner, towards his wife, and after he's done it, he comes out with lots of remorse. That's no use. That's absolutely useless. He needs genuine repentance, and repentance is turning away from our God. And I think the good news for Philip Schofield is that there is an opportunity for forgiveness if he comes to God through Christ. The bad news is that all his crocodile tears, we may not know. You and I cannot judge, but God knows. And one day he will have to stand before his maker and give account for every ill word and every ill deed done. So I think remorse is useless. Repentance is essential.
What do we make of the things that typically seem to happen when you have an infidelity comes to light? Then you go through a time where you're under intense pressure. And then it seems to be that the one who has been unfaithful, has been caught out, oftentimes, if they have a media presence, they can come back bigger and better and almost become social media stars. It's as though the imperfection becomes the thing that people become heroes for. Any thoughts around that type of scenario?
Yeah, because there's a perversity in human nature, and that includes a perversity in those of us who are listeners. So you know as well as I do that, say, even in Christian media, I do a lot of writing. If I write an article with the headline, if I write an article about, let's say, the beauty of Christ or something, and then the next week I write an article with a headline about Bishop accused of, you know, attacking choir boy or something, it is the second one that will get by far the most reads. Why? You know, it's interesting on, I think it might be on Netflix, there's a program about Raoul Moat. Raoul Moat was somebody who shot someone dead in Newcastle, and the big police hunt for him, and they've made Newcastle in the UK. And they've made a big, they made a three-part series about it. But the sad thing in that series, and I've just watched it, is how many people on social media, this man who was going around seeking to kill policemen and who'd already killed someone else and who was domestically violent and abused his children, he was a hero on social media to some people. And that is a very, very worrying state of affairs, that we live in a culture where these things can be publicized, but there'll always be people who will eulogize evil.
What is our takeaway here, David? What do we learn? Is it as simple as saying, because we are people who are shaped, and let's just say some reference to the Ten Commandments, just don't do it. Learn from the mistakes of others. Keep your faithfulness to your spouse. Avoid these sorts of circumstances. Not only are they detrimental to your own personal future, but of course, what we haven't really had time to talk about, and we're running out of time now, is all of the other people who've been affected by this and hurt so badly, including his own family. Is there a takeaway that says, get your life together, don't live a double life, do it right?
Well, yes and no. Yes, that's the kind of thing that Jordan Peterson would say. I mean, I would take several takeaways from this. Number one, and I'm talking about for those of us who are Christians, and also non-Christians, don't take your morality or your guidance from celebrities on radio and TV. Really don't. Secondly, guard your own heart. You know, and yes, we have to live consistently. But thirdly, I would say this, we need to view life from the perspective of those who live not for ourselves, but live for Christ and see Christ. You know, it's in Christ we find forgiveness, it's in Christ we find meaning, and it's in Christ we find the strength to overcome temptation. So the story of Joseph, for example, being tempted into his master's wife's bed, and he said, no, I can't do this. I'm not going to sin against you or God. I'm not going to sin against God. And I think we should take that on board. And I think those of us who are Christians, we should be very, very careful. When other people's dirty linen is washed in public, we need to be particularly careful that we don't get, how will I put it, dirty with it, you know, get caught up in it. You know, I'm sounding as though I'm excused. I think it's because I commentate on a lot of different things. Normally, I don't want anything to do with any of this stuff. The private life of celebrities, I have no interest in whatsoever. I've got enough to deal with, and there are far bigger issues. However, in this case, because it was and is a reflection on our culture, I thought for me it was worth looking at. But I would say for most of us, if you're going to look at that, then for every time you look at our culture, take 10 looks at Christ.
Wonderful insights. And, you know, listeners to this program will know we don't deal a lot with celebrity gossip. There might be some more call for that when we can bring Christian dimensions to what happens with celebrity gossip. And it might be something we might need to engage with even a whole lot more into the future. But as you say, there is a way that as Christians we might engage with that, which doesn't take in all of the sensationalism and just glory in the sins of others. David Robertson is director of the Ask Project with Sydney Anglicans. David, always just great wisdom and insight. I want to thank you once again for taking that opportunity to be able to share these thoughts with us. Let me point listeners to how they can connect with you. It's a simple website to remember, ask.org.au, ask.org.au. Ask is about evangelism, and this is where the rubber hits the road often when it comes around issues with celebrities and who we take our cues from. Take our cues from Christ and from those who are following him. David Robertson, thank you so much for taking some time to share these things with us today on 2020.
It's a privilege, and I hope the rest of your conversations, which sound fascinating, I'm particularly interested in the Tasmanian one, because I think I love Tasmania because it's the part of Australia that's most like Scotland. So I'll be very, very interested. I think it's more like heaven than hell.
Right. I think lots of people are going to agree with you there. So that conversation.
Thanks for- for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.